Our Bible study today, once more, is in the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. In a previous study, we were looking at the first 20 verses of this chapter, and we termed that the controversy with the traditionalists. We showed that the truth of God was far more important than the traditions of men. Yet in spite of that, some people place all the importance on their traditions and they neglect the truth. And so therefore the lesson for us to learn is this: truth must come first. And if there are to be traditions, these traditions must be governed by the truth of God. Now remember, these traditionalists were members of the great favored nation of Israel. Go further than that. These traditionalists were the religious leaders in Israel, the men who prided themselves in their knowledge of things. They were called the scribes and the Pharisees. But now, while they themselves failed to come to grips with the truth of God and began to criticize the Lord and his disciples, now Matthew turns the focus here on a woman that you might term an outsider. She's a Syrophoenician woman. Now, let us read what it says concerning her. Verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let us pause there now in our reading and try to get a lesson from this incident. I want you to notice four simple little steps in this record. First of all, the trial the woman faced. Then the test this woman sustained, the truth she confessed, and the tribute she received. Here was a woman that you and I might look upon and say she was a Gentile woman. She was an outsider. And yet, this woman came to him when he was near in her coasts or the place where she lived. Now here is the trial this woman faced. Her daughter was in a state of distress because of the work of the devil. A woman of Canaan came out of these coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. Here was a woman who had domestic trouble, a woman who was having trouble with at least one of her family troubles. My friend, I believe today there's a great number of people, perhaps many, listening to my voice at this time, and they're like this woman, they have family troubles. It may be your daughter, or perhaps it could be your son. One member of your family, or more, and you're having family troubles. You're having problems with your family, and you don't have the answer to it. Let's go a little further. This woman realized this, that the problem in her family had to do with the enemy of souls. It was the devil himself that had launched an attack upon this woman's household. The enemy was busy, and the woman was in a state of distress because of her daughter. She was in the midst of a great trial. My friend, there are some people today who try to make fun of the fact of there being a personage called the devil. You've heard me quote this over and over again in other studies. Some folks say the devil's dead. Some folks say he's gone. But honest folks would like to know who carries his business on. And he's very busy. The Word of God tells us that there will be an increase in his work as the age draws near a close. In the last days there would be the doctrines of demons. At the present time he is very busy in the world, even in the civilized nations, so-called. And demon worship, devil worship, is on the increase. People today are tampering with the occult. You have devil worshippers, and they're not hiding it. In fact, they're boasting in their shame. And so people today have been drawn into the mesh of demonology. Yes, he was busy in the days when the Lord was here on earth, and he's busy again at this time, and families have been divided. Parents have been brought into a state of trial and trouble, all because that the enemy has got inside the walls of their home and got into the hearts of their children. Here was a woman passing through a time of distress, passing through a time of trial because of the work of the enemy. Who do you think it is that's behind all the drug traffic at the present time? Why is it that young teenagers are being dragged down into the gutter of sin and immorality because of drink and because of drugs? Why, of course, let us be honest about it. It's the enemy of souls that is behind it. Who do you think is helping the drug pushers? Who do you think, my friend, it is that's destroying the lives of our youth? It's the enemy. So therefore, we also are faced with this trial today. But at least we must say this about the woman. She came to the right place. She came to the right person. As she came to the Lord, and she's crying unto him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." Now, I want you to notice the distress of this woman, and in her distress, she had a great test, but she sustained the test. Now in her distress the woman came to the Lord. She acknowledged him as the Son of David and begged for mercy. Now you would have thought that when she cried to him for mercy and acknowledged him as the Lord and as the Son of David, that he would immediately have responded. However, he didn't. This woman had to go through a severe test. You see, he remained silent and appeared to ignore her cry. Now, I wonder, my friend, why did he do it? Now, remember, she was a Canaanitish woman. Now, the Pharisees, who were the leaders with the Israelites, the men who ought to have recognized him, these Jews, these leaders, They ought to have recognized him as son of David, and they didn't. I have been pointing out this right from the very start of Matthew's Gospel, how often he is referred to as son of David. Here is a woman who is an outsider. She recognizes him for who he is. And she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She's acknowledging him as the Lord. She's acknowledging him as the son of David. Therefore, as such, he was the rightful claimant to the throne. He was the promised Messiah. And she's acknowledging this. And yet she's an outsider. Isn't it strange? But the Lord did not respond, and here's why. You see, as an outsider, she had no claim upon him. She was a stranger to the covenants. She was a foreigner. She was outside the pale of the commonwealth of Israel. She had no claim upon him as son of David, and she must be taught that lesson. So he remained silent and appeared to ignore her cry. But of course, she kept crying. But he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Now isn't it strange? She was not crying after them at all. She was crying after the Lord. She was acknowledging him as Lord, acknowledging him as son of David, and crying for mercy. Yet the disciples don't like it. Oh, this outsider, this Gentile woman, and she's disturbing the whole procession. She's crying after us, they said. Send her away. Oh, they were a little embarrassed. But he answered and said, now he's addressing himself to the woman, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In plain words, he told her exactly that his mission was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Nevertheless, she takes her rightful place, and she came and she worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." She drops now the title Son of David. She simply addresses him as the Lord. As the Lord, then, she had a claim on him, but still. He answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Plain words. If he is sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, it's not meet for him to take that which belongeth to the kingdom now and give it to the outsiders. See, the Gentiles were looked upon as being unclean. They were the Gentile dogs. And so he said, "It's not right. You cannot take what belongs to the children and give it to the dogs. You can't take what belongs to Israel and give it to the outsiders." This is the crisis, as it were, of her great test. And she sustained the test. She said, "That's true, Lord. Absolutely true. Yet, isn't there a corresponding truth? Isn't it true that there are little dogs that can eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table?" In plain words, she takes her rightful place. She is an outsider. She is a Gentile dog. "I'm willing to take my place," as it were, as the outsider. "I'm willing to take my place as an unclean dog, an outsider, a Gentile." But says, "Couldn't I have just a crumb that comes from the master's table?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith." You see, not only the test was sustained, but notice the truth she confessed. She acknowledged that she was outside the fold and family of Israel, and had no rightful claim on the king for his blessing, but nevertheless, she was willing to take the place of the dog and receive the crumbs that fell from the table. Could she not be blessed with a little crumb of blessing? Oh, notice the humility of the woman. Notice the confession of the woman. How she takes the humble place. And the Lord gives her a great tribute. The Lord gave her a delightful commendation for her great faith and granted her request, and her daughter was delivered from demon possession. O woman, great is thy faith. You see, she had no claim whatever upon the Son of David. She was outside the boundary line, as it were, of the circle of blessing. But she says, I'm willing to be treated just like that outsider, even if I am an unclean Gentile dog. Just give me a crumb. Oh, the faith of this woman. There's a lot of people not prepared to take that humble place, my friend. There's so many people not prepared to admit that they're sinners. They want to put themselves on some pedestal. They want to think that God ought to honor them because of who they are or what they are, and they're not prepared to humble themselves and take the place of the poor sinner who needs to be helped. Lord, help me. She said, I'll just take a little crumb from the table. He says, woman, great is thy faith. And her commendation was such. She had great faith. She had greater faith than those people who were supposed to be the leaders in Israel. And now he said, thy daughter is made whole. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And so the Lord shows here what he's able to do for the outsider. And he gives a commendation for the faith of the woman. But now he moves on from there, and Matthew brings two points together to show us that the Lord had compassion for a great multitude. At that point he leaves there again, and he departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. So he has left Tyre and Sidon, and he's gone away back over the country again to Galilee. And he goes into a mountain, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw that the dumb could speak, the maimed were made whole, the lame could walk, and the blind could see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Now, here is a beautiful little picture. The Lord has gone out of his way to take some blessing to a Gentile woman. And after he has blessed the Gentile woman and delivered her daughter from the power of the devil, he comes back into the country of Galilee, and he brings blessing to the people there, the people of that nation of Israel. And as a result, they glorify the God of Israel. You see, my friend, it's a beautiful picture of this. At the present time, the Lord is bringing blessing to all people. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel. And the gospel is preached to all kinds and classes, to Jew and Gentile alike. And Gentiles are being blessed by the message of the gospel. They're being saved. They're being delivered by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Afterwards, he will return again, and he'll bring blessing to the nation of Israel as a nation. And at that time, when his kingdom is set up, they also will glorify the God of Israel. At the present time, he brings blessing to individuals. But when that time comes, there will be national blessing, as he promised to Abraham and to his seed. Now, the closing part of this chapter brings us again to a multitude. This time there are 4,000 of them. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have you? They said, 7, and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. they took the 7 loaves and the fish, and gave thanks and broke them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude, and took ship, and came into the coasts of Magdala. Here now we notice that the Lord is showing his compassion on the multitude. After showing his sympathy and displaying his power, as I have indicated, to the Gentiles, the Lord comes again into Galilee, and we note the condition of the people. They readily acknowledge their need and long for deliverance from the effects of sin. The Lord not only manifests his messianic power over disease, but also provides for their physical needs. Now surely, this is a picture of millennial blessing when the King returns and is acknowledged by his people. His first time here on earth, the nation did not acknowledge him. Even today, as a nation, they do not acknowledge him. He was rejected, placed on a cross that said, "We have no king but Caesar." And the leaders criticized him and condemned him. They would rather have their traditions rather than the truth of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, is the truth. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." However, they rejected him, they criticized him, they condemned him. And so therefore you find him turning and bringing blessing to a Gentile. And right now, from the time that Christ was crucified and went back to the glory, and the Holy Spirit was sent down, the blessed message of redemption has been heralded throughout the whole earth, Jew and Gentile alike, rich and poor alike. All who are in need can hear the message, and he brings the blessing to all those that exercise faith. He says, "I have not seen such great faith." And so he commended this dear woman for her faith. But then again, as we have indicated, after bringing that blessing, he goes back again to the people of Israel. And the day will come when he shall return to them. Now, I like to think here that when he came back to them, he had compassion on them, and then they were able to come to him. Great multitudes came unto him, and they were bringing with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. You see, here were people now who had been under the power again of the enemy. The devil had been doing his deadly work. But when the Lord came back to them, they recognized his power, and they were bringing those needy ones to him for his help. Ah, you see, my friend, while they may have rejected the Messiah when he was here, while they may have put him on a cross, the day will come when they'll recognize him. When he returns, they'll know who he is. They'll have to acknowledge him. Every knee will bow to him, and every tongue will confess he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here they glorified the God of Israel when they saw the power that he was able to manifest. And that day will come again when he'll come, and he'll deliver his people, and he'll bring them back into a true relationship with himself, and they'll glorify him. Not only so, he'll be able to meet all their physical needs, because in the closing part here, the people were in need, a whole multitude. Now remember, the day is coming on this earth when there will be a great famine, and people will be in need. It'll be like a wilderness. There'll be lack of supply. If you don't believe me, just read the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, and you'll find it out. But when the Lord comes, he'll be able to supply their needs, and there won't be a hungry soul then. There will be an abundance. Why, they'll plow the land, and the plower and the reaper will be overtaking each other. There'll be such a harvest. And the Lord was able to provide their needs. May I suggest The Savior is able to look after you today, my friend. He can deliver you from the power of the enemy. The Lord can supply all your needs. He'll supply your spiritual needs. He'll save you with an everlasting salvation. I wonder, do you know the Savior?